everyone. Welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. I'm Jane Ray, and I'm here with my podcast partner,
Andrea Stein. It's good to be with you, Jane.
It is always good to be with you. We have a lot of fun doing these episodes, even though we deal with some pretty heavy and sometimes difficult topics.
You know, I just enjoy learning from your wisdom.
Oh, excuse me, you can't see me, but I'm putting my finger in my mouth. Well, today we're going to talk about a serious topic, but and unfortunately, it's a much more common situation that we see, myself included, and that's suddenly single after age 50 or 60, particularly after a long marriage, and that's divorce. You know, of course, it's different if you lose a spouse, but divorce is an intentional act, meaning the couple who have been married usually for a very long time, for whatever reason, decide to end their marriage. And at a certain age, after a certain period of time being married, that is always difficult. I don't care how amiable the divorce is. I don't care, right? I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording. There isn't such a thing as a clean divorce.
I don't think there is, you know, because especially if a divorce happens, you know, at age 50, 60, very many times, you've been married longer than you have not been married in life. You know, you look back on 30 years, 40 years of being married, and suddenly you need to learn and live a life that you never thought you would have to live. And that's challenging, that's painful, that hurts. You know, no one gets married with the intention to get a divorce. So something happened that compelled one or both partners to say, it's not working, I'm out. And that never is a smooth process. I don't believe it is.
Even people that want the divorce, I mean, even people that maybe have been unhappy together for a long period of time and for whatever reason, didn't take that difficult step.
Right.
But it changes your lifestyle. I mean, it changes your finances. It changes everything you thought.
Right.
Your life would be at this stage of your life.
Well, the two obvious challenges are, one, there is the pain, the hurt, the disappointment, the betrayal of what happened, and how to work and how to handle that part of it. And then just as important, maybe possibly more important, is, all right, what kind of life do I want to live from here and forward? Do I want another partner? Do I want to get married again? I'm afraid of being alone. How's it going to work out? I remember people telling me, I haven't been in the dating game for 30, 40 years. I don't know how that goes anymore. I don't even remember that time when I did this. How do I do it these days, you know? I mean, learning how to date, you know, how to do that. It's challenging. It's scary. It's intimidating, you know? And
yeah, when you're used to being one of two, right, and suddenly you're single, the dynamic of your life, your relationships, where you live, how you live. First, you have to untangle the way you used to live. So there's a practical aspect to that, right? In terms of you may or may not stay in your home. You may move somewhere else. You may move to a different city. So there's a lot of practical side. Of course, when you've been married for a long time, you might have had children.
Absolutely.
And how they're going to react to mom and dad ending their marriage. So there's a lot of emotional aspects to it, but there's also a lot of practical aspects to it. I remember I'm divorced after 25 years. I'm remarried now, but and it took a while before I was ready to even think about getting married again. But I remember my big fear when I got divorced, what happened if I got sick?
Yeah.
It was a very, all the other stuff I was okay with. We parted amicably, didn't end amicably, but we parted amicably. It was something we had both wanted for a long time and all of that. And I was happy to be in control of my own life. At least I thought, until I thought about, but what happens if I get sick in the middle of the night? Yeah. What happens if I get seriously sick? So I went through this whole like mind game with myself. And then, of course, I had to reconcile with the fact that I had other people in my life that if I really, you know, did unfortunately have some kind of illness or whatever, there were other people I could call on and whatever. And I kind of came to terms with that. But you go through a whole cycle of emotion. Even if you're the one that actually wants this situation or think you want, it is a complete change from what was to what is. And you know, one of the things I love when we talk, Andreas, is that, you know, we try to talk about the real feelings as opposed to the legal implications or to talk about how you feel. Because a lot of people will go, particularly in a divorce situation, will go, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. We're good. We parted amicably. I'm fine.
Yeah. You know, and there's a fear of opening a can of worms once I go down this road of exploring how I feel. I mean, it's not, there's decades of hurt and feelings that are coming out, you know, and can I control them, you know? And, you know, I remember so many conversations when a person just started, you know, to either get super angry or super tearful and saying, I thought I'm over that, you know? And, but yeah, I mean, we're talking about 20, 30, 40 years worth of hurt and betrayal and disappointment and frustration and stress. So I'm afraid of opening this can of worms. Maybe I just say, I'm fine. I keep myself busy. I'm keeping myself active. I keep traveling. I keep going to nice restaurants. I keep doing this. At least then I don't need to deal with that, those feelings that are there, but these feelings remain there and they'll find a way out, you know, whether we want it or not. So, but yeah, if somebody would just ask, how are you? I'm fine. It's just safer.
Yes. And I don't think this is gender specific.
No, I don't think so.
Meaning that whether you're the husband or the wife in a divorce situation, I think the feelings are deep. Regardless of which role you have. And the reason I say that is too often we think that it's the woman that's going to have all of these emotions and, you know, all of this betrayal and whatever. And that's not true. I mean, no. there are many, many, many men, even if the divorce was mutually agreed,
right,
that you have now cut your relationship in half, right? Your lifestyle in half. And I think that's really different than when you were younger, because you've built a life together. You've maybe had children together. You've, you know, shared your careers and you've shared your tears and your happiness and your joys. And there's a lot. And I think that at the heart of all of this, even if you wanted this, there is a sense of failure. There is a sense that I never thought when we got married, what did I do? Right? What did I not do? I think everybody at some point feels that did I fail at being a good husband or wife? Did I not do the right things? Did I? And look, let's be honest, sometimes people grow apart and that's the reason for divorce. I mean, it's as simple as that. It isn't more complicated. And for whatever reason, the couple decides that. But I think still there's this inherent feeling of, could I have done something different? And I think that is very, very hard for people to process.
It's hard to process. And I think there's another issue that's coming into play. And that's the issue of trust. You know, if that person who I thought I would spend the rest of my life together with is gone now. And even if there is nothing spectacular that happened, I mean, no major affairs or whatever else, but somehow that trust got broken, hurt, disappeared. And I'm not sure if there is anything in life as tough, as traumatic, as broken trust. Who can I trust if that person could not be trusted? I'm never going to trust anyone again. I will say I'm fine because I don't want to trust anyone ever again, because sure as anything, I never want to feel what I felt again. And how do you learn to trust another person again after that divorce happened? It's scary. And, you know, trusting someone you find should have never been trusted, that's something tough to come back from. And many times it's impossible.
Yeah. And again, don't ever misunderstand, listeners, that we're encouraging divorce. We're certainly not. But if it's inevitable, and it is often at that 25, 30 year stage where if a divorce is going to happen, that is usually in an older couple, that's usually about the time that it's going to happen. My husband got divorced after 25 years. I got divorced after 25 years. But that new chapter is scary because you're right. Who do I trust? What do I want? There are people that really love being part of a couple and they rush into some new relationship or they crave this new relationship because they're used to being one of two, not one of one. And so there's a lot of dynamics that go into it, even where you're going to live. Right? Are you going to live on your own? Are you going to live with your kids? Or are you going to move somewhere else? There's a lot of dynamics that go into that. And I think what we will talk about next is what about life after divorce? Right? What happens emotionally after divorce? And in my experience, I've seen kind of one of two paths. There are those people, unfortunately, I have friends that are divorced, same as I, that, you know, they're after a long marriage. And they immediately, I got to go find my next husband, partner, whatever. Or those, again, with trust, the really big trust issues that I'm never going to do this again. And I was one of those people. Notice I'm married again, but it took a long time for me to be able to say, okay, I'm willing to commit again. Dating one thing, right? Most people want companionship. Right. And I think seeking companionship, whether it's with friends, whether it's with a romantic partner, is important to maintain your connections. But which of those paths are you going to be on? And neither are right, neither are wrong, but there are risks in either ones. One is, you know, if you choose the path of rushing into a new relationship, you run the risk of not really getting to know somebody well enough to be able to make that commitment, right? You want to trust so badly that you'll almost trust anyone. And I know people that have done that and it has not turned out well. I know people have done that and it turned out very well. But again, there's inherent risk there. And then the other side is I'm never going to, is you run the risk of being isolated because your mistrust is greater than your desire to be a part of friends, couples, other things. So either one has some kind of inherent risk associated with it.
You know, if a person gets a divorce after, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years, something like that, you know, the success of any marriage, first, second, whatever, a large part is that we're clearly aware of who we are. And after you get a divorce, there's a time of just, you know, start dating yourself for a while. Be with yourself, you know, and find out who you are. Because you've been so much, not entangled, but together with that other person who's no longer part of your life, at least not in the same way as before. Suddenly you're alone, you know, and, you know, the last time you were truly alone is 30 years ago. You were a teenager then. You remember that person. Now you are 50 years old, something like this, 50, 55 years old. Take some time to date yourself, to get reacquainted with yourself. Find out who you are, and you know you'll be surprised who you are. You are no longer the person you were at age 18, 19, 20. You have changed. You've grown. You've made experience. You're scarred, and you will find out that no person surprises you more than you yourself. And you know, so before you move on to that next relationship, make sure you know who that person is who's going to get married to that other lady or gentleman, you know, and because that kind of is important for the success of that next step.
Yeah, I love that. Date yourself for a while. I think that's really profound and important, because I don't think we ever take time, because we're afraid to be with ourselves,
yeah.
Right? You know, if we're with ourselves too much, we get deep in our heads. We may like some parts, we may not like some parts. So I think that, you know, part of us wants to avoid dating ourselves and immediately try to get into other relationships because that's more traditional. And, you know, you also said the last time most of us were dating, we were teenagers or in our 20s. And it's a whole different thing right now, particularly with all the online stuff that goes on. I mean, you know, you don't have to go to a bar or a restaurant or a singles club or whatever. You drink a glass of wine and go shopping for your next relationship online. And it's a whole different dynamic. And yes, there are people out there that are pretending that they're still teenagers. but you know, what you're looking for potentially now in a friend who may become more, right? Is different than what you were than what you were looking for when you met your spouse,
right? Listen, when you were a teenager, part of being a teenager is you kind of find out who you are, right? That's a process of, you know, growing up, you know, and you figure things out about yourself, who you are, and that's a tough process. It's a challenging time, but somehow, you know, when we enter the early adulthood years, we at least have a rough idea who we are, you know, and now 30, 40 years later, you may want to go into another marriage, but you are no longer that same person. But that challenge is still there, that time to figure out who am I now, you know? And if you don't take this time, if you just, all right, got a divorce yesterday, I'll get married again next week, you don't know who you are dealing with in yourself. Takes that time to figure out who you are.
And avoid the fear of being alone.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Also, I think the relationships that you'll develop now are very different than the relationships you were developing then, because then you would choose a partner. It sounds like you really are shopping, right? But you would choose a partner and you would think about, when we have children, when we move to a city, when we have a house, what my in-laws are going to be like, what, you know, I like his sister, but I don't like his brother. I mean, there was a lot more, and there was a lot of other influences, your friends, your family, that were a big influence. But also when you were looking at your future, you were looking at a future with this person to build a family, whether that family was two, just you and your partner, or whether that family was going to grow, right? And then there was the extended family. So you were looking at it very differently. By the time you get into a new relationship after a divorce, that's already happened, right? Whether you had children, you didn't have children, whether they have children, they don't have children, you know, financially, you've had your careers, or you're, you know, closer to the end of your career than the beginning of your career. So, you know, the dynamics are very, very different, and the choice is very different. What are you looking for? And do you know, right? Do you know, are you looking for a new relationship because you're afraid of being alone? Are you looking for companionship? You know, I remember when I met my husband, you know, he was like, well, I like to go to the theater, or I like to go to the movies. I like to go to the movies, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, you know, rose petals in the driveway as I walked in the door. And no, it was much more of a practical.
Right.
I like that. You like that. You know, there's some kind of compatibility there. So I think dating yourself gives you a chance to think about that.
Right.
Right. And it also gives you a chance, I think, to kind of assess your own situation, you know, with if you have children, how they're reacting to it. They can't control it. What kind of lifestyle do you want for yourself? Your future is still very bright.
Right.
And I think some people think that it ends at that point. Like, I don't have a future. I don't have a fun. I'm not going to enjoy this part of it, particularly if you are the one that did not ask for the divorce.
Right.
And I think there's a different feeling there. If it was mutually agreed, if you were the recipient of the divorce, or you were the one that initiated the divorce. It's complicated.
Well, it is complicated, you know, and the scars of life continue to hurt, you know, and how do we, you know, deal with the pain of these scars, these memories that are there, you know, and without letting them control us, but without ignoring them either, you know, and finding that balance between, no, I'm fine, and being scared and intimidated by them, you know, that balance, to strike that balance is not easy, and it takes time to find out, you know, how that works, how that goes, you know, and, but the good news is, Jane, I mean, as painful, as tough as a divorce is, or at least can be, there's going to be a whole new life with new blessings, with new experiences, with new joy, with new laughter waiting. You know, life will be again be a gift to be enjoyed. Life will no longer will not be a chore. That let's just get done with this to be done with it. You know, it's a new chapter that will bring unexpected but real new enjoyments, joys, blessings, and that's the good news there. It's the divorce is not just an end, but the story continues. And there will be whole new chapters, and maybe even the best chapters yet.
Yeah, and I can attest to that. I said, when I got divorced, you know, I met my husband, and I said, I never want to get married again. And we are happily married now for almost 8 years. We live in a community we really like. And I won't tell you that the feelings or the scars of the past aren't there. They still are. There's no doubt about that. You carry it with you. Yeah. But there is life at the end of that rainbow,
yeah,
right? When you get to the other side, and you open yourself up to possibilities, and it isn't just romantic relationships. That's not necessarily always the end game,
right?
And I think, you know, we would be misleading if we said, well, you'll find a new partner and you'll be happy again. You'll be happy, hopefully, with yourself.
Right.
And if you do end up finding a new partner, or you do end up in a new relationship, then you'll be more fulfilled because you'll be more comfortable with yourself. But I think it's as you said, realizing that the story isn't over.
Yes.
Right? There's just a new chapter.
Yes.
And that new chapter can be filled with amazing, amazing possibilities.
Yes.
And you need to be open to that. And I would suggest, if you are divorced and you're struggling, there are lots and lots of resources. There are support groups. There are men's groups, women's groups. There's, of course, professional clinicians that specialize in divorce. So if you can't do this on your own, then seek those resources, because the pathway to that next chapter is making sure that you've dated yourself for a while. And if you can't do that on your own, then seek other help, because there's lots and lots of help out there.
Yes.
So with that, hopefully we've tapped into some of the good, the bad, and maybe even a little bit of the ugly associated with divorce at a certain age. But if you walk away from this, listening to this episode, the story's continuing.
The story continues.
And the story can be filled with joy. The story can be filled with love, whether it's friendship love or romantic love. The story continues. And even at an age when you think it's done, not so done.
Yes.
Right? It's not so done. But date yourself first. I love that, Andreas.
Yes,
date yourself for a while first. Take yourself out for a nice dinner. Buy yourself some flowers.
Yes.
Do what makes you feel good and whole.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, thank you for listening. I know this is a difficult topic for many, and hopefully by addressing it, we're trying to be real about it. So I'm Jane Ray.
Andreas Stein.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60.